For me, it's a delight to be here, not only to encourage you, but because Brother Judah's heart for God always encourages me. Here's a man who really has a heart after God, and Sister Kathy is the same way. And you're blessed to have a leader, a leadership couple that really has their heart after God, because when our heart is after God, hallelujah, then the love and power of God is more free to flow. You agree?
Amen.
And we need the love and power of God, don't you agree?
Amen.
We really need the love and power of God. I mean, probably some of you have noticed that we live in a time where there's wars and rumors of wars, the economy's shaking. You've noticed this, huh? Everybody's shaking their heads, you know. And, of course, it's a normal thing for us when we see all of these things happening. It's a normal thing for us to think of the words of Yeshua, right? And to wonder, where are we at prophetically today? Where are we at in the prophetic calendar? And this is a normal thing. It's a healthy thing. But I also have noticed that too often when my brothers and sisters are looking at the prophetic calendar, they're looking for the sense of primarily knowing. Knowing. So that we know. And then sometimes there's a disease that gets in here that after the knowing, then once we know how to preserve what's mine and what belongs to me and mine and, you know, that kind of thing. And we're kind of in the self-preservation mode. Well, I believe that God has a different perspective, and the scriptures bear witness to a different perspective, that God wants us to know the times that we live in so that we know what to do. Not so that we know just here, and not so that we preserve ourselves and our own well-being, but that we know what to do in agreement with the Holy Spirit, in agreement with what God is doing on the earth. There's a very minuscule passage of scripture in the book of Chronicles which says the men of Issachar understood the times that they lived in and they knew what to do. Now, when we read carefully the scriptures and we understand the life of Yeshua and we understand the life of the apostles like Rabbi Shaul and Kepha, Peter, we see that this is a life. Yeshua is our model. Amen?
Amen?
This is a life of giving and sacrifice. This is a life of giving and sacrifice. As a matter of fact, Yeshua told us that if we find our lives, we really lose it. But if we lose our lives for His sake and the gospel, we really find it. This is a life of giving and sacrifice. In Belarus, in April, starting in April, and to this day in the last, whatever it is, been about 8 months, the Belarusian ruble has lost about 70% of its value. And prices are going up on most items. And since I can't get into Belarus, I meet with my senior leadership team across the border in the Ukraine. That's kind of like meeting with Rabbi Judah in Mexico, if you wanted to meet with him, just to give you a perspective on that. And so my senior leadership team comes down to meet me across the border in the Ukraine. And once a year, we hold a conference in the Ukraine for about 80 of the volunteer ministers from the three congregations that God enabled us to plant. And when I met the folks earlier this year in the Ukraine, I said, Lord, again, the people of Belarus are going through a tremendous trial. They've been through, you know, you can't imagine, you know, the Holocaust, Chernobyl. Belarus was hardest hit by Chernobyl of all the nations of the world. Communism, Stalin murdering millions of his own people. 800,000 Jews die on Belarusian soil. A new dictator, which Condoleezza Rice called President Lukashenko, the dictator of Belarus, another one of those outposts of tyranny in the world. And so the people have been through a lot, but they're survivors. And I thought, Lord, you know, my flesh wants to say one thing. You know, kind of my human sympathy wants to say one thing, but the Spirit of the Lord seems to be leading me to another thing. And the thing that I said to our people during this conference was the following. Number one, as things get heated up, as trials increase, this is a time to deepen our intimacy with God. This is a time to deepen our relationship with God. Number two, this is a time to check ourselves in order to make sure that our dependency is on God and not in our own ability or in our governments or in the ability of man, that we are really believing His promise, because it will be tested that if we seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, that all of our needs will be met. Not all of our wants. You know, we have to understand needs. I think it's basically food, shelter, and clothing, to be adequately clothed, to be adequately sheltered, and to be adequately nourished. And then I said the third thing, it's time to give like never before. What do I mean by give? It's time to give ourselves away like never before. Why? Because we want to be in tune with what Yeshua is doing and what the Ruach is doing. And we know that Yeshua is seeking to save the lost. We know that Yeshua came to earth in order to bring back the lost sheep of the house of Israel and the people of all nations that were worshiping idols and enslaved to demons. All of us, whether Jew or Gentile, enslaved to sin and to death. He wants to set us free to have fellowship with the eternal God, our Father, and to walk with Him through this life, right? And so when people are having more troubles, it's time to give ourselves away even more. Not that good times are not times to give ourselves away, but we need these kinds of encouragement. So it's time to give ourselves away even more. And what does that mean? We give our hearts. We give our time. If we have a half a loaf of bread, if we have a loaf of bread, we give half to our neighbor. Why? Because it may mean the difference in their eternal destiny. Too many people are wandering down that broad road to destruction. Not enough are walking down that narrow road to life. And God is depending upon you and I to be burning with the fire of His love and to be willing to pay the prices that He puts before each one of us, in order that the lost sheep of the house of Israel and the people of the nations be saved. You cannot pay my price, and I cannot pay your price, but the Lord gives us each a price that we must pay in each season of our lives, in each day of our lives, for us to come out of our comfort zones, to us to sacrifice in order that others might be blessed. And none of us are great at this. You know, but God knows that, and He's looking for a heart that's intent, a heart that's set on being willing to pay the price. You know, we Jewish people, we like deals. There's nothing wrong with a good deal. But when Yeshua gives you the price, don't cut a deal with Him and say, well, how about half price? Because when we pay the full price, the reward is deeper intimacy with Him. The reward is connecting to His heart. The reward is connecting to His life in fuller ways. And there's no greater reward. You know, because we can go through this life breathing and eating and sleeping. And even we as believers, we can go through this life breathing, eating, and sleeping and not really be connected to that life that's in us and upon us. You know, we don't want to, Paul called that living in the flesh, right? You remember that. We don't want that kind of life. We want to be connected to this sacrificial life that Yeshua modeled for us, that the apostles modeled for us, where it says the greatest of all is the servant of all. We got to go lower to go higher in the kingdom. The greatest of all is the servant of all. We got to go lower to go higher. Now, I can tell you, my wife and I, we're spending a lot of time in India. And if you would ask me, Stuart, do you really like staying in those minus 5-star hotels? Of course not. Where, you know, the amenities are cold water showers and sometimes bed bugs. But why do I stay in these places? Because Yeshua has given me an assignment to reach the Israelis that are traveling to India by more than 50,000 every year in order to find answers, many of them from Eastern mystics and gurus. Can you imagine more than 50,000 young Israelis, the sons and daughters of Abraham, every year traveling to India, and many of them looking for answers from demonically inspired gurus and mystics? It's shocking. It's shocking. Yeah. Well, I always say Israel is the promised land, but not yet the Holy Land. Because if you spend time in Israel, you know that most of our people are really engaged in some pretty heavy sin, like the folks here that, you know, like to sin. I mean, there's all kinds of evil going on in the land of Israel today. And our people, for the most part, do not know Yeshua and are not following Yeshua. I mean, there are 13 million Jews approximately in the world. And less than 1 million are following Yeshua. That's in the Christian world, they call that an unreached people group. But I want to tell you, the times, they are a-changing. How many of you liked Bob Dylan way back when? The times, they are a-changing. And I'm come to bring you a message tonight that I call, I hear a noise and a rattling. You say, Stuart, maybe you should get your ears checked. Or maybe you need a psychiatrist. No, this is the Ezekiel 37 call. I hear a noise and a rattling, the Ezekiel 37 call. I believe that the Lord has given me some glimpse of an understanding of the times that we live in, and I want to present to you the understanding that I believe that He has given to me, so that you and I will not just know, but we will know what to do. And once we know what to do, we will do it. Because we got to know what to do, and then we got to... Because it's not just the hearers of the word that are blessed, it is the doers of the word that are blessed. Amen? So I want to take you to Ezekiel 37, and I'm going to share this in the context of what I see the Lord doing amongst our Jewish people, the young Israelis that travel to India, the Israelis in Israel, and the Jewish people here in North America, and I believe wherever, but this is my main perspective as well as the former Soviet Union. Ezekiel 37, you're all familiar with this passage, I would imagine. It's the passage of the dry bones. Verse 11 tells us that this story is about the dry bones of Israel. The dry bones are the house of Israel. And dry bones, as you would imagine, means no life, right? That means you can be walking. There are a lot of people that are walking the streets of Sarasota and will be tomorrow. It doesn't mean that they're alive. In order to be alive, we have to be born again. We have to be, yes, set free from the bondage of sin and death and born again by the Spirit of God through the shed blood and resurrection of Yeshua. Amen? Yes. So Ezekiel 37, verse 1, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and He set me in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, and they were very dry. Now, how many of you ever say, oh, Lord, lead me to a valley of dry bones? You know, this is my heart's desire. I pray, oh, lead me beside still waters and green pastures. Yes, this is nice. Let's go dancing through the fields, Lord. A valley of dry bones. But, you know, It's really a special honor to be led to a valley of dry bones. It means that God is trusting you with the heart of Yeshua for the lost. He's trusting you with the heart of Yeshua for the lost. And when we get in touch with the heart of Yeshua for the lost, it creates a whole new level of intimacy, because this is really the main reason he came, to set the lost free, right? And then to heal us up, deliver us up, and make us healed up, delivered up disciples to walk with him and to co-labor with him on this earth. This is our primary purpose, as we love God and love people, the two great commandments. Love God and love people. And so Ezekiel is brought into this dry bones, very dry bones. And God, and really, folks, you know, we are amongst dry bones, whether we're aware of it or not. I mean, Sarasota is loaded with dry bones. Florida is loaded with dry bones. And many of them in Florida are our people, the Jewish people. And then there's all kinds of people from all different nations here as well. So we are in the middle of dry bones, even if we didn't realize it. And we have a responsibility. And tonight we want to learn how to prophesy with Ezekiel as we understand the times that we live in, and we know what to do, and we do it. And then God asks him a question. You know, the Lord's amazing. You know, he asks Ezekiel. I guess he thought he was a pretty intelligent Jewish boy. Maybe he graduated from the Harvard of that day. I don't know. He says, son of man, can these bones live? And Ezekiel, being the smart Jewish boy that he is, I'll paraphrase his answer. I have no idea. I mean, you know, this looks pretty bad. How would I know, Lord? You know. And so it is with us. If we look around at the dry bones of Sarasota, the dry bones of Israel, and so on, we say, can these bones live? They look like they don't really care about living as we know living. You know, here a lot of them are pretty well off. They live in nice boxes, you know, those things called houses. They live in nice boxes, and they have nice boxes with wheels, things we call cars, you know. And they seem to be fine. They don't need what we think is life. And in Israel, they seem to be doing the same, you know. Can these bones live, Lord? But in Ezekiel 36, he says that he's not going to bring this about simply for the people of Israel. Of course, he loves us and he loves everybody. But his name is on this. You see, he's put his name on this. He has spoken this through the ages. He has promised this through the ages. So his very reputation is on the line. This is why I know it's going to happen bigger and bigger and bigger. Not because of my capability or Judah's or any of yours, or because the people of Israel are so hungry for Yeshua, but because God's name is on the line. He said he's going to do it. And he's going to do it. How he's going to do it, I don't fully know, but I know my part. I know my part. I got to be in on it. I got to be in on it. You see, because how beautiful on the mountains are the feet that bring good news. Now, I literally am in the Himalayan mountains in northern India. But the mountains are anywhere where your feet are stepping. It's in your neighborhoods. It's in your workplaces. It's when you're going to the marketplace. It's when you're shopping. Whatever it is, those are your mountains, and your feet have to be shod with the good news. And you have to be ready in season and out of season. I like to say we need our antennas up. And we need to be ready to serve anybody and everybody, whether we planned it or not. Because we're supposed to be loving the people around us, right? And we want to be in the practice of connecting to Yeshua's love. I'm telling you, his love is amazing. I carry in my Bible, how many of you have heard of Schindler's List? Wow, it's pretty popular. Just joking. How many of you have heard of Stewart's List? Yeah, the 10 most wanted, that's good. Now, everybody should have a 10 most wanted list. 10 most wanted list. Everybody should have a 10 most wanted list. That's your minimum list. What is this 10 most wanted list? This is your list of people that God has put on your heart to pray into and love into the kingdom of God. And it shouldn't just be your family. You should have 10 others beside your family as well. I carry this list. This is over 300 young Israelis that me or my wife or the teams of young Israeli believers and believers from the other nations have ministered to in India. Not just handing a tract or something like that, but where we connected eye to eye and heart to heart, where there was warmth flowing back and forth, and where in this relationship the good news of Yeshua was shared and the Holy Spirit did some work. And I am amazed that when I pray, and you can use my prayers, I pray something like this: Lord, send me to them and them to me. And then when I meet one, I pray, Lord, give me your heart of compassion for this one and your approach to their heart. Give me your heart of compassion for that one and your approach to that heart. Because he's loving on them all. And I'm amazed that when I meet these young people, I mean, I'm 30 years older than most of them. That when I, how many of you remember that when God set you free, it was because of unconditional love and acceptance in his power? And so we as believers need to learn to create a space, if you'll allow me this language, of unconditional love and acceptance around us without condoning evil or sin. And so I've been asking the Lord to teach me this so that I can do it and teach others this. To create this atmosphere of unconditional love and acceptance around me without condoning sin and evil. And I find people like to come into this space. Oftentimes I've discovered that we say, hey, that one's close to the gospel, but in reality they were close to me or you or the other one sharing. We want to be loving vessels. And I'm amazed at how when I'm around young Israelis and others, when my heart is connecting to the heart of Yeshua, I can love a young Israeli boy in his 20s or 30s or young girl just like they're my sons and daughters. My love's small, believe me. Probably yours is too. My love is small. But when his love is working in me, it is huge. How many of you know what I'm talking about? His love is huge in us. And so I've made a commitment to pray consistently and regularly for these that we have ministered to. Itai, Elad, Mikal, Shali, Ithamar, Daniel, Tzafnat, Elah, and on and on and on. How many of you think this is going to be helpful? Okay. So I would like to encourage you to pray for Stuart's list. And if you're not on our mailing list, you can get on. We have a table in the back with some literature, and you can get on our mailing list. And we'll encourage you, hopefully inspire you along the way. You pray for Stuart's list and have your own list. Have your own list. Where you really, this is a demonstration of love. When we're caring about people's, not just their daily lives and daily problems, which we need to, but we need to care about their relationship with God and their eternal destinies. Do you agree with that? So, we're going to see a lot of these young people in the kingdom of God. We have to understand that in these days that we live in, we are fighting a battle that is the culminating battle of the ages. The devil has been laughing and saying, I've owned the Jewish people for 1,800 years. The people of God I have owned for 1,800 years. There's been very few Jewish people that have come to faith in the last 1,800 years, a very small minority. Thank God for the small minority. And then in 67, we began to see a new move of God, and we saw a lot of young Jews come to faith. And then in the former Soviet Union, we saw the next wave. Just in Belarus, we saw over 500 people come to the Lord, half of them Jewish, in the 12 years that I was there. And we've seen drips and drabs in Israel. There's not a whole lot of young Israelis coming to the Lord, native Israelis coming to the Lord. But things are going to get better because God said so. And one of the things that we need to do is be a praying people, because prayer is going to change things. Prayer is going to change things. So this is a biggie. Note that, and I will give you a summary of all this at the end. Okay, you alone, Lord, know. Verse 4, then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to you. To these bones I will make breath enter you. You will come to life. Hallelujah. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. And then you will know that I am the Lord. Then I want you to see the next verses, starting with verse 7. There are two parts to the prophecy. Ezekiel prophesies twice. And this is key, at least as the Lord ministered to me, to understand the times that we live in. Verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. See, I like that about Ezekiel. I want to be like that. Whatever I'm commanded to do, in the big assignment and in the daily assignment and in the hourly assignment, I want to be obedient to the Lord, to the Word of God and to the Spirit of God. Nice. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise and a rattling sound. I hear a noise and a rattling. This is the Ezekiel 37 call to God's people. I hear a noise and a rattling. Yeah, great. I hear a noise and a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Phase one. We're praying. We're ministering. We're sowing seed. We're sacrificing. This is the season that we're in. The harvest amongst our Jewish people is still small in this season, but there will be a harvest in this season. There is a harvest, but it's not a large harvest as yet. There's a harvest. But more so, it's like the preparation of the ground and then the sowing of the seed and the watering of the seed. The noise and the rattling that I hear is loudest amongst young Israelis. And amongst the young Israelis, it's loudest in India. This is why we go to India. I remember having a team of 9 young Israeli believers with us, and one day we couldn't help but just cracking up, and we were saying, what are we doing here? Aren't there any Israelis in Israel? But the noise and the rattling is louder in India. Why? Because in Israel, society is positioned against believing in Yeshua. The whole society is positioned against believing in Yeshua. Your boss is positioned against that usually. Your co-workers, your parents, your neighbors, your family members. But in India, here are these young people. They're looking for something new. They're seeking. I compare them, Judah, to the young people of the 70s here in North America. It blows my mind. What happened in North America in the 70s? An entire generation of young people became restless. They were no longer satisfied with the answers of their culture, nor were they satisfied with the answers of their fathers. And they began to seek for new ways of living. And that generation changed the world, mostly for the worst. We brought in the sex revolution, the drug revolution, moral relativism. Horrifying. But God used it to bring about the Jesus Movement revival. in which tens of thousands of young North American kids came into the kingdom of God, including thousands of young Jewish kids, who many of them are messianic leaders in the messianic movement of North America today. This is exactly where the Israelis are at. They are not satisfied with life in Israel. They are not satisfied with the answers of their culture. They are not satisfied with the answers of their fathers. And they're going to India, amongst other reasons, but they're going to India to seek for new answers. And everywhere they travel this path from south of India on through north in the Himalayas where we are, and we also minister in the south, by the way, up through Nepal. They follow the weather, and everywhere they go, there are New Age gurus, there are New Agers, there are gurus, yogis, and there's Chabad. But where are we? We haven't been there. We have not been there. Only in the last 5 years, when my wife went to Pioneer and to check it out and said, Stuart, India is a strategic place to reach Israelis, and we need to go. And 2 weeks later, I got the letter kicking me out of Belarus. Or a week even later. It's a strategic place to reach Israelis. And we have taken a step up this past year. I want you to know that this was not my dream of owning a building in the Himalayan mountains when I was a Jewish boy growing up in Brooklyn, New York. But during this last trip, the Lord spoke to us. We had rented this building called the Sunrise. You can get a copy of this. We have our newsletters and different things back on that table along with the sign-up sheets. The Lord told us we had rented this building for 2 months, and we led there an international messianic worship, prayer, training, and outreach center. We had young people from Israel and all a number of different nations, believers. And before we left there, the Lord said, I want you to establish a presence for me here. And from here to train teams of young believers from Israel and the nations so that my name is represented, so that Yeshua is represented as these young Israelis by more than 50,000 are shopping for spirituality in India. So this is our vision. This is our dream. The Lord has already provided for us 50 of the $90,000 that we need to purchase it and to build the second and third floors and equip it. Please be praying about that. Perhaps the Lord will lead some of you to sow into that. Next verse. So we're in this time of a noise and a rattling. The noise is very loud in India. Very few young Israelis turn us away. Many of them want to spend a lot of time with us. We saw a very unusual thing happen this time, whereas oftentimes we meet these young Israelis in the cafes and in the coffee houses and in the restaurants, or we do things with them like hiking and so on. This time, they were coming to join us in the sunrise. This is why we also think the sunrise is very important. Every morning we would have worship for 2 hours, worship and prayer. Every morning, our international team of believers. And Israelis began coming into our place by two, threes, and fours. And the great man of faith that I am was that when I saw him come, I said, oh Lord, I hope they don't leave. Because this doesn't happen in Israel that often, where they're coming in regularly. And not only were they coming in and not leaving, but the presence of God was often very strong as young people were passionately worshiping the living God, the Messiah of Israel. And they would experience his presence, and they'd kind of look, and then they'd sit down. And they said, man, we really like the energy here. And the energy of not only the presence of God, but young people from different nations. They really liked that, you know, worshiping the Lord. And in this anointing, they would hear about Yeshua, the Jewish Messiah, the Messiah of Israel. They would hear about his life, death, and resurrection. And then oftentimes we would offer to pray for them just to bless them. And they would receive prayer and not infrequently would tears run down the eyes. And number of times we prophesied into their lives. And not only did they not run away, but they wanted to spend time with us. And these relationships would last the day and sometimes many hours over weeks. And so I hear a very loud noise and rattling in India amongst young Israelis. It's a little less in Israel, but it's there. It's a little less in North America, but it's here. And I hear it mostly amongst the young, like 30s and under. But that doesn't mean it's not amongst the older also. Next part of prophecy, okay? We got bones coming together. We got tendons, but no life. Then he said to me, the Lord said to me, prophesy to the breath, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they might live. So I prophesied as he commanded. I love this. So I prophesied as he commanded. As he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Friends, we have not seen a vast army since the book of Acts and that century of Israelis coming to faith. We have not seen a vast army. Oftentimes we think of the remnant of Israel as the little slice at the end of the loaf of bread. But God is saying, this is going to be a vast army. And this army will again change the world just the way that army of young Jewish believers, the apostles and the disciples, turned the world upside down 2,000 years ago. Now, you don't really understand what the Jewish disciples did 2,000 years ago until you go to an idol-worshipping nation like India, where every day they're bowing to their idols and burning incense to their idols and they're enslaved to their demons. The Jewish disciples went to people like this 2,000 years ago, people they did not know, people that were strange to them, people that were foreign to their way of life and their way of thinking, and they risked their lives so that they could know the God of Abraham, the God of heaven and earth. This is big-time Yeshua love working in Jews. And this is what's going to happen again. This army, it's going to, you know, just keep going like a snowball down the hill, momentum, momentum, more and more Jews coming, more and more Jews coming, more power, more faith, more love, more fire, more and more and more and more and more. You and I have a big part in this, more and more and more and more and more. And they're going to have a heart for their brothers and sisters, and there's going to be more and more and more lost sheep of the house of Israel, but they're going to have a heart for India. They're going to have a heart for Thailand. They're going to have a heart for Iran, and they're going to risk their lives just like 2,000 years ago, and it's going to be a world-changing fire again. Yes, there will be a great apostasy in the end times, but yes, there will be a world-changing revival that will come through Israel again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to tell you about... I'll read you this. I'm inviting young people, 21 years of age and older, some young in heart, old in bones. We had a 69-year-old retired physician join us the last time we were in India. He heard me preach and he said, I know you're only inviting young people. You want them like 21 to 40, not much, you know, mostly 21 to 30. I'm 69. He said, can I come? I said, oh, I don't know, you know. And he said, well, you know, I really feel the Lord wants me to come. And And, you know, I won't be a bother. I'll do whatever you ask me to do, you know. I said, okay, let me pray about this and check this out. And the Lord said, take him. And it was a life-transforming experience for him, and God used him powerfully. So we are open to that, but it's mostly for the young bones, 21s, and, you know, that kind of thing. And this is May 25th to June 8th to give you a taste of what God is doing. We have flyers in the back. And I want to read you one little thing from this flyer. And then I want to take you to India, and we'll conclude this message in a moment here. I want to read to you what Daisy, one of our students at the International Messianic Worship, Prayer, Training, and Outreach Center, wrote to us. She said, thanks for investing in me and encouraging me and believing in me. I have been able to meet and have deep conversations with so many dear ones that I am almost losing track of the numbers. I find them, the young Israelis, very, very open. Many of them have been moved to tears. Today, I wasn't able to lead Rivka to the Lord. We have a part. We're going to review our part in a minute. Let's go to India together. If we can turn the lights down a little bit, I think that might help. Our work in India is called Operation Yaakov, because we want Yaakov in India to meet God and become Israel. Turn the sound up here.
On my first trip to India, I really had a sense from the Lord that this was a strategic place to reach the Israelis that are traveling. Many of them are so open, and they're open to talk. They're open because they have questions in their hearts that are looking for answers.
In 2007, Operation Yaakov was birthed by the Lord, and we understood that the Lord wanted us to build in India so that Israelis who are shopping for spirituality throughout the country and finding great opportunities to engage in the New Age, into Eastern mysticism, hanging out with gurus and yogis, getting into all kinds of drugs and weird stuff, we wanted them to have an opportunity to hear the good news of Yeshua and to receive.
We're having a little trouble with the video part, but please excuse that.
Presence.
Just even like sitting in here and watching you just, you know, talk to the kids and just, you know, share these things. It's like, I know that in Israel, like, I mean, even, you know, Baal was saying this, you know, like in Israel, like it'd be shut down in a second because it's like, because they know what they've grown up with. They know who this, you know, they call him Yeshua, you know, and like they know who this, you know, they'll shut it down right away. But it's so interesting to see that, you know, I think because they are somewhat seeking, even if they're just traveling here, there's still this open door that's so much more open than it is in Israel.
One thing I liked about the whole time that we spent together is the warmth and the family atmosphere that God has been able to create both here and especially at the Shabbat. I found that especially enriching because Shabbat meal was like so much like a family meal.
It took a long time like to get in my head that just sharing love and just loving people was enough, and that opens the door to, you know, share the gospel and talk about spiritual things.
I was very impressed at how the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, was working in lives. And then how many people, once we got this understanding from the Lord that we should pray for people and even prophesy into their lives, how many people were so welcoming with prayer and thanked us over and over again.
When I met Michal, a young Israeli traveler, I was amazed by the answer she gave me when I asked her, "What are you doing in India?" And what she said is, "I'm coming here because I'm looking for something spiritual. I'm coming here because I want something to happen inside that would cleanse me. And then I want to be able to go back to Israel like a new person." And what she said really is that she wanted to meet with the Messiah, Yeshua, because he's the only one that can do that in her life.
The second branch of Operation Yaakov is to bring God's heart for the salvation of the lost sheep of the house of Israel to the Indian church so that they can participate in Operation Yaakov by praying. And many churches and many believers have really taken a step up in the last number of years to pray and to intercede for the salvation of the Israelis in their country, and also to participate with us in Operation Yaakov Lighthouses, which are businesses owned by Indians. They operate as businesses, but their main function is outreach to Israelis and other young travelers.
My name is Williams. What has really touched me in this seminar so far is the largeness of God's heart in loving you and revealing yourself to Him. And that has really touched me, that how you have come to know the depth of God's heart for you and the Gentiles. That He wants each one to repent and turn to Him. We preach this, but in you see, I saw the love that God has poured in your heart to your people and to the people of the world, that Lord Jesus Christ must be known and become the personal Savior.
Hallelujah. My heart's desire, your heart's desire. Amen. I apologize for the quality of, it's a very high quality video actually, but somehow the formats didn't match with the computer format, so we had some of these problems. I hope that it still got the message across. I know that Rabbi Judah wants to give you an opportunity to participate with our ministry, and I think maybe this is a good time. And then I want to conclude with a summary of the 5 points on how to be like the men of Issachar and prophesy with Ezekiel, okay? Okay. And while Judah is coming up, I also want to announce one other trip. You can get a flyer for this trip out on the table back there. It's called A Journey into Eastern European Jewry. This will happen October 18th through 29th in 2012. We will take you to Auschwitz and to Schindler's factory in Poland, where we all mourn and pray. And then I will say goodbye to you on the Warsaw platform if I still can't get into Belarus. And it's kind of like out of a movie. And then you are led by my wife into Belarus, where you will serve and honor Holocaust survivors. The vice president and his wife are members of our congregation in Minsk, where you'll participate in Project 58, which is after Isaiah 58, the ministries that we have to serve the poor, needy, and oppressed. You can go to our website, www.reachinishiv.com, click on Project 58, and you'll see the different ministries to orphans, widows, and so on, as well as Holocaust survivors. And And you'll participate in the life of the congregation in Belarus. And everyone that's been on this trip has come back with a tremendous testimony of how God used them to serve others, because my wife keeps it intimate and uses people in their gifts, only 12 people on this trip, and how God transformed their lives. So we welcome you if the Lord is leading you. That's another opportunity. We'd love to see Rabbi Judah and Kathy over there too. And that's October. No. I just feel led of the Lord that as you're sowing, that everyone who sows a prayer for us or a dollar into what we're doing, I'm just asking the Lord that it would be seed for an outpouring of grace on the needs of your life, those things that are deepest on your heart, those things that are most deep on your heart. But not just that, also that it's a seed into our passion, which is to walk in intimacy with the Lord and to carry his burden to reach and disciple the lost sheep of the house of Israel and the nations. So both of those things. And Father, I just thank you for hearing our heart's cry. And I thank you for our partnership, because it's our partnerships in the kingdom of God that make things happen. And we bless you for the opportunity to co-labor with you. If you would just give me a little background on the keyboard and maybe the guitar, I just want to share five ways that we prophesy with Ezekiel. I've alluded to all of these, but I want to put them out real clear so that you have them. I would suggest that you write them down or you listen to the recording or whatever, because I think these are critical steps. Number one, we're prophesying with Ezekiel. We are men and women like the men of Issachar. We understand the times that we live in, and we know what to do, and we do it. Number one, we believe that we live in the days, that God is doing it and will do it, that he is going to bring life to a vast army of our Jewish people in Israel, India, here, and around the world. We believe, because without faith it's impossible, you won't enter in. We believe. And I'm asking the Holy Spirit to make it real and confirm to each of us that we live in the time of the noise and the rattling, which is going to lead to a vast army being born again into the kingdom. Number one, we believe we are in the days. Number two, we pray in agreement. We pray in agreement. Lord, do your work. Bring your life to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And we're going to pray for stewards list. And I have my 10 most wanted list. I call it love in action, prayer card. And Lord, I'm going to pray for Israel in general, stewards list, by name, people in my community. We're going to pray. And where are we going to pray? We're going to pray in our corporate prayer meetings. We're going to come to corporate prayer like never before. We're going to meet the Lord. We're going to get his heart in prayer. And then we're going to pray his heart for the salvation of his people and the people of the nations. We're going to pray this in small groups. We're going to pray this in our prayer closets, in our secret place alone. But not just in our secret place. There's not enough power there. Not just in our small groups. There's not enough power there. We must come together corporately. The congregations in North America that will come together and pray, where God's people will take hold of faith in God's heart and believe that prayer is a key, that Rabbi Judah will have to say, whoa, this place is overflowing with people coming to prayer. These are the congregations that God is going to use most powerfully, I believe. Make a fresh commitment to the corporate prayer of this congregation, as well as small group prayer and individual prayer. It's going to break through in the spirit. Number three, we must speak in agreement. You know, we all have a habit of saying, the Jews aren't interested. Those Jews have everything. They got the money. They got the this and they that. No, It's happening. It will happen. God said so. For His name's sake, His word never fails. Amen? So we speak in agreement. We speak it into ourselves. Because everything in our flesh and the devil's going to want to speak it out of us. We speak it into ourselves in agreement with the Word of God. Number four, we act in agreement. We make a new commitment to intimacy with the Lord, and out of that intimacy, sharing His love around us. First through prayer and then through action. We're going to love on people. Sometimes I don't like that word evangelism or preach. Not too many preachers around. We're people. We can love on people. It's the second commandment. To love on them with a focus on not only their daily needs and daily problems and daily situations, but their relationship with God and their eternal destinies. That's when love is fullest. Number five, we pay the price. It's gonna cost. It always costs. Nothing in the kingdom of God is free except what Yeshua paid for our salvation. But after that, to walk it out, we have to carry our... There's a price we need to deny ourselves. We need to come out of our inner comfort zones. We need to come out of our physical comfort zones. We need to allow ourselves to be inconvenienced. Oh man, I really wanted to keep my feet up tonight, but this guy is asking me to help him. It's costs. It costs. There's always a price. Always a price. But when we pay the price, oh, the reward is big. Because Yeshua knows how to reward those that are willing to pay the price to accomplish His purposes on this earth. One more time. We believe. We're in the days that it's happening and will happen. Number two, we pray in agreement in small groups, corporate prayer, and in our quiet place. Let's pray like never before, and let's have our lists, whether you call it 10 most wanted, Stewart's list, love and action prayer card, let's have our list. We speak in agreement. We act in agreement, number four, and we pay the price that the Lord is asking us to pay in this season of our lives, in this day of our lives, in this hour of our lives, whatever the cost. Because Yeshua has given us a great opportunity and great privilege. The more I read the scriptures, the more I understand that this life that He has given to us is a simple life. It's the simple things, though it's not always easy, but it's simple. The simplicity is, He dwells in us, and He is giving us an opportunity to abide in Him, to abide in His love, to abide in His Word. And that means to walk with Him and to keep our hearts and our minds connected to Him so that we are fulfilling the first two commandments, and out of that everything else flows. To love God and to love our neighbor. This is the life. It's very simple. And if we keep our focus clear, we won't become dry ourselves. We will be full of excitement in life, whether we're 18 years old or 118 years old or anywhere in between. I want to ask you to stand, if you would, with me, please. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord. Oh, Father, we just want to say thank You for Your loving kindness. Thank You, Lord, for setting us free from the bondage of sin and death. Thank You for Your loving presence in this place and in our lives. Thank You for being available to us day after day, that we can abide with You, that we don't just need to believe in You, we could be in You, we can be with You. Thank You for this amazing gift of grace. Thank You for the Ruach that's in us. Thank You for the Word of God that helps us to understand. Thank You for allowing us to co-labor with You in the harvest. Thank You for putting Your love in our hearts. Thank You for teaching us to love and live the way You do. You are our model. You are our way. You are our example. We glorify Your name, Yeshua. We want to live like never before with the fire of your love burning in us. We want to pray like never before with the fire of your love burning in us. We want to act like never before with the fire of your love burning in us. Yes! For the salvation of the dry bones of Israel, we prophesy breath to the dry bones. We prophesy breath to the dry bones in Sarasota. We prophesy breath to the dry bones in Florida. We prophesy breath to the dry bones in North America. We prophesy breath in the name of Yeshua to the dry bones in Jerusalem. We prophesy breath to the dry bones in Israel. We prophesy breath to the Israelis seeking for answers in India. We prophesy breath to every Jew in the diaspora in the name of Yeshua. We say it shall be done because you said it shall be done. And we bless you. Hey! Thank you, Lord. Let's sing it, I guess.